Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I'm going to be in Exodus chapter 3 starting out if you want to find your place there. Moses is a very interesting character in the Word of God. And man, I enjoy studying his life. I enjoy looking at it. And some people has called him the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Israel. And he pastored whenever they made that Exodus out of Egypt's land somewhere. Depends on who you read after, whether you're reading after a commentator or a historian. But probably somewhere around 2 to 2.5 million people made the Exodus out of Egypt. So Moses is not leading some little group of people. Moses was a very dominant leader. He was a very solid leader. And I could talk a lot about leadership tonight off of the life of Moses and us as parents and adults, how we should be leaders. And I'm telling you something, we need some good godly leaders today. And I mean that across. I'm talking about in every aspect of this society today. We need good godly leaders, and we need them in our politics today. And I'm not here to talk about politics, but we need good godly people in our politics today. We need godly leaders, amen. And Moses was a tremendous leader, and there's no way, there is absolutely no way over the next 30 minutes that I can really go into depths of the life of Moses. There's no way in the next 30 days, if I preach 30 minutes a day for the next 30 days, that we could really cover the life of Moses. He's just an extraordinary man. He's God's pick to lead Israel out of bondage. That's who God picked to do that. So let's look at a couple things about his life. Chapter number 3 of Exodus, and I want to pick up reading in verse number 1. And if you was not to have a Bible, I would assume that Miss Stephanie will have it on the screen. She's working on that. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Now, I've got to keep going, but I've got to stop for just a second on that. What a sight that must have been, to see a bush burning, but it didn't burn up. It just kept burning. And we know that that was a supernatural act of God. Verse number 3, "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." Now, I want to say this to you tonight, we'll just get as far as we can get tonight. But I want to say this to you. It's so important to understand the voice of God. And you that was here a week ago today on Sunday morning, I preached on Abraham and Isaac when Abraham took Isaac upon the mountain to sacrifice him. The angel of the Lord spoke to him and said not to sacrifice him, that he had provided himself a ram caught in the bush. And if Abraham had not known the voice of God, Abraham could have quite possibly killed his son that day. So it's very important that we know the voice of God. The voice of God speaks to Moses, and he immediately responds to that, and he says, "Here am I." And he said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover," he said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Verse number 7 says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard the cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto thee, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh. The Bible says that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So the first thing I want you to see in the life of Moses tonight is the call of Moses. God calls Moses to do something great. Now, I think it's interesting that Moses is on the backside of the desert, minding his own business, just doing his own thing, going through life as an ordinary man, living his life. That's when the voice of God spoke to him. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. God has a plan for every individual sitting in this room tonight. God has something specific for you to do. God had something specific for Moses, and God has something specific for you. The word of the Lord came to Moses. God's word came to him. And I thought about this. When you study the life of numerous people, we could go to the life of Jonah tonight, where the Bible said, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And then you go to chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, the second time, saying, I'm thankful that the Lord calls us, and I'm glad that when we don't listen the way that we should sometimes, as in the life of Jonah, aren't you thankful for that second calling of God? And that, and I'm not talking about a salvation over and over, but I'm glad God doesn't give up on us. So the call of Moses came directly from God. Moses was living his normal life, and God had something supernatural for him. I want to ask you this question tonight. If God's got something supernatural for you, are you willing to do it? Are you willing? What did the Bible say? The Bible said Moses stopped and turned aside to see what was going on. What if God's speaking to you? Do you continue in your daily life, in the routine of your daily life, and you don't have time to stop and listen to the voice of God? If Moses had continued right here and not have listened to the call of God, then God could have used somebody else. Can I just say this? He don't have to use us, but God chose to use us. I'm just a firm believer, if God wanted to speak to the hearts of man through the mouth of a cow, He could. Matter of fact, He made a donkey speak one time. And if God chose, this is the way I'm going to give the gospel out, is that whenever you got a good pack of hounds running a bear across a mountain, that bear is going to stop and start talking to you before you shoot it and say, now just before you kill me, I want to tell you what God done for you. They was on a hill far away. God could have chose to do that. He's God. He's God. Are you hearing me? Yeah, some of y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. He's God. He could have done that. But you know what God done? God chose to use you. God chose to use me. God chose to call us into something. And a lot of times when we think about this call of ministry, we have this thought in my mind, well, God's not going to call me to preach. No, He's not going to call everybody in here to preach. And we could go on and on about the qualifications. Some's not qualified, but the truth of the matter is this. Everybody's not going to be called to preach. If everybody's called to preach, who's the preacher going to preach to? But everybody does have a ministry. And when God speaks to you, it's so important that we hear the voice of God. We not only hear the voice of God, we submit to the voice of God. So we see the call of Moses. God speaks to him from this burning bush. Number two, I want you to see this. And I thought about several different words to put here, but I ended up going with this word. I want you to see number two, the concerns of Moses. Not only the call of Moses, but note with me the concerns of Moses. We're still in chapter number 3. Let's pick up in verse number 11. And the Bible said this, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Can I just say this to you tonight? I don't think that Moses was arrogantly saying that. I don't think that Moses was, as we referred to Jonah a while ago, Jonah running from the presence of God. I don't think that's what Moses is doing. I think Moses is truly concerned. Lord, you want me to do what? You want me to do what? I'll never forget, I said this morning, July the 20th, 1994 is when I got saved, 30 years ago yesterday. And a 16-year-old young man, July the 24th, fast forward 2 years, July the 24th, 1996, was the night that I surrendered to preach the gospel as an 18-year-old young man. Two or three nights before that, on a Sunday night, is a Wednesday night when I surrendered to preach, on a Sunday night, God spoke to my heart about preaching. And you know what I said? Nope, not interested. You say, well, why did you say that? Can I just, this morning I was just leveling with you, so I'll level with you again tonight. Because I saw the way everybody treated my daddy. I saw the way some of those ungodly deacons talked to my dad. I saw my dad, and you that don't know my testimony, I grew up in a pastor's home. I saw my dad leave vacation. I've watched my daddy leave vacation at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning and drive 5 and 6 hours to a hospital in Winston, walk in and have prayer with a family that was going into surgery, and drive all the way back to the beach with his family for that family to turn their back on him and criticize him and stir up trouble in the church. So to be honest with you, I wasn't interested in doing this. Let me tell you why. Because of people. Because of people. I'm just being real with you. And so when God called me or began speaking to my heart on a Sunday night, I said, Lord, I'm not interested in that. I don't think Moses is saying that. I think Moses is truly concerned. Lord, you want me to do what? Lord, I'm listening to your voice, but are you really saying that? Let's read on verse number 12. And he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said, and let me just time out. Isn't it amazing every time we say something to God, he's always got something to say back to us? Are you catching that? Moses said, well, what about this? And God's like, well, what about this? And Moses said, what about this? And God's like, well, what about this? So look what God says. And God said unto Moses, verse 14, man, I love this verse. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now, let me just detour just a second. I love that verse because of this. I am. He didn't say go down there and tell them this, that, or the other. He said just go tell them I am. Just go tell. Well, I am what? Are you with me? If you introduce yourself tonight and somebody, he would say, I am Joe the plumber. Isn't that right? He said, amen. I am Joe the... Them glasses ain't got nothing around your ears. Are they broke? I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all just didn't see. That was my ADD kicking in. I'm telling y'all. Boy, I look educated. If I had that bow tie on, man, let me give them back. Watch this. Brother Stan would say, I am a father. I am a Christian. I am a Sunday school teacher. Are you with me? I am a husband. I am a son. God says, just go down there and say, I am hath sent me. You know what he was saying? I'm whatever I need to be. Are you with me? It's what you remember back when you was running around, Brother Jonathan, somebody would bow up on you a little bit, and you'd bow back up, and you'd say, just how big a boy are you? And when you're smaller like me, you always answered it like this, as big as I need to be. Are you with me? Especially when you got somebody like Brother Jonathan asking you that question. You got to intimidate him a little bit. I tell people the reason I got a concealed carry permit is because I put my hands in my pockets every once in a while. Y'all will get that in a little while. These things are deadly when they get turned loose, man. You know what God is saying? God is saying this, I'm everything that I need to be. Moses, if you need me to be your father, that's what I am. If you need me to have the love of a mother, that's what I am. If you need me to whoop some Egyptians, then that's what I am. If you need me to part the Red Sea, then that's what I am. You just go down there and tell them, the great God, the Almighty, the I am that I am, hath sent thee. So Moses has got a concern. How am I going to do this call that you've placed on my life? I want to say this to you tonight. If you're sitting here and God's speaking to your heart about something in your life and God's wanting you to do something in your life, if you're not careful, you'll sit back with a true concern sometimes. Mine was not a true concern at 16. Mine was I just didn't want to do it. But I'm going to tell you what, that Wednesday night following that Sunday night, I had all I can take. I'll give this to you, and I'm not promoting this. I'm just telling you what I've done. I went into church that Wednesday night, Brother Mason. I said, God, if you want me to preach, then the preacher will preach on hell tonight. Who preaches on hell on Wednesday night? I grew up in church, okay? Preacher got up. Scott Caldwell was preaching that night. He got up. He said, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank everybody for being here. You know the way Uncle Scott is. And he said, I want to preach on the rich man and Lazarus tonight. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Luke. This is a God's honest truth. I got up and walked out of the service. I did. I got up. I walked out of the service. I walked down the steps. And when I started down the steps, my brother-in-law, now Jeremy, turned and come up the steps. And he said, why ain't you in church? And I said, man, I got to preach. He said, do what? I said, I've got to preach. He said, you need to go sit in the service. We'll talk about it after service. I thought, I don't want to go sit through the service. I didn't think Uncle Scott would ever quit preaching that night. Boy, as soon as they give the altar call, I hit the altar and I said, Lord, if preaching's what it is, then here I am. And God will ask you to do some things. God will call you to do some things. And within yourself, you may think, there's no way I can do this. Can I say something to you tonight? That concern, there is an answer to it. The I am is still the I am. He said, for I am the Lord thy God and I change not. So if God gave Moses the courage that he needed, then God can give you that. Now, I don't have time to deal with this, but if you'll continue reading from chapter 3 to chapter 14, you'll find, I'm not going to read all, that's a lot. I told you I can't preach all this in one night. You'll find the courage of Moses. What was the courage of Moses? Man, he walks up into Pharaoh's house and says, let my people go. God said, let my people go. Are you with me? Man, what courage Moses has. What courage Moses has. Go with me to chapter 14. See the call of Moses. You see the concerns of Moses. Then you see the courage of Moses. Moses does what God tells him to do. And I love to read. Man, I wish I had time. I wish I had time. I love to read about the crossing of the Red Sea. And can I just give you this on Moses for just a minute? The crossing of the Red Sea. I mean, can you imagine standing there in the Egyptian army? Man, you will hook somebody with that right there. You got them little glasses on? You better listen up in here. Watch this. Moses is standing at the Red Sea. And while he's standing there, the Egyptian army is pursuing after him. Pharaoh himself, he's brought millions out with him. They're all looking to him, what are you going to do? And he takes just a simple rod in his hand and stretches it out over the Red Sea. And it wasn't him stretching the rod out, it was who he represented. And when he done that, the waters parted on both sides. Matter of fact, some commentators say that in order for them to cross in that amount of time, that it was a mile and a half to the left and a mile and a half to the right. Approximately 3 miles as the children of Israel cross over. And here's something that's very interesting about that. That cloud, I wish I had time to preach all this, that cloud that God had given, which is a symbol and a type of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, that led them the way. It didn't depart from them. That cloud goes behind them and makes it dark so the Egyptian army cannot pursue after them, and makes it light for the children of Israel for them to cross the Red Sea. They go across, they get to the other side, the cloud lifts, here comes the Egyptian army pursuing after them, runs into the middle of the Red Sea, and as they're going into the Red Sea, Moses takes that rod, stretches it back out. And you don't talk about courage, man. Stretches it back out, and you know what happens? The waters come descending in, and Pharaoh and his army dies there that day. But before the waters come in, the Bible says this, that their chariot wheels run off. I mean, could you imagine standing over there on the banks of the Red Sea, and here comes the Egyptian army. Moses is standing there. The children of Israel has passed over. And here they come wide open. And all of a sudden, one of the wheels run off the chariot. Read your Bible. And the Bible said this, and they drave them hard. In other words, they couldn't drive them. Why? Because the wheels was running off. I mean, I'd been about going, you with me? The Bible says the water come crashing in on them. What courage Moses had. Why did Moses have that kind of courage? Have you ever thought about that? Because there was a day that he was minding his own business, living his life, doing what he was supposed to do. And there was a burning bush on the backside of the desert. And God spoke to him out of that. And he never got over what God done for him on the backside of the desert. Now, I want to say something to you. The courage to live for God the way that we need to live for God. Thank God for church. Somebody say amen. I love church. Don't stop coming to church, okay? Keep coming to church. Keep bringing your kids to church. I thank the Lord. I stand amazed at our youth group right now. We're averaging somewhere between 60 and 70 consistently in our youth group right now. That's from ages 4 to 18. It's amazing what God is doing in our youth group right now. Keep bringing your kids. Keep coming to church. But I want to tell you something. What has given me the courage to keep going the way that I needed to go has not necessarily been a message that I heard preached, or a song that it's getting quiet, or a song that I heard sung. Do you want me to tell you what's given me the courage to keep going the way that I need to keep going? There's a few little places around in this community that I'll steal away when nobody else is with me, and I'll get quote-unquote on the backside of the desert, and I'll meet with God on the backside of the desert, and I'll say, God, I've got to have your help. There's no way I can keep going. There's no way I can do what you've called me to do without your help. That's what will keep you going. His call, his concerns, his courage. Now watch this. Chapter 14, verse number 11. 7:20, and I'm going to go to around 7:30. They're not going to come back in to around 8. But that'll give you a little bit of time to stand up and stretch your legs and fellowship a little bit. Chapter 14, verse number 11. Are you with me? And they said unto Moses, who are they? Go back to verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh to the children of Israel, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, well, why didn't they just cry out unto the Lord? Because in our hard times, we've got to find somebody to point our finger at and to blame sometimes. If they would have stopped right there, it would have been all right. But look at verse number 11. And they said unto Moses, that's the reason I said he pastored the First Baptist Church of Israel. They go to the man of God and they're like, why'd you do this? It's your fault. You know, tonight it's not. Boy, man, the preacher's awesome. Do you see how many we had in VBS? But you let something go wrong tomorrow night, or little Johnny get on too much in class tonight. I don't know why the preacher's having all these things around here and doing all these things. Are you with me? What did they do? The Bible said, and they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? You that knows the story knows the children of Israel continually goes back and complains to Moses. So there is the complaining to Moses in his life. There's the complaining to Moses. Can I just say something to you tonight? And I'm going to move on and give you the last point where I really want to talk for just a minute. If you're serving God, if you're living for God, if you're trying to make a difference, somebody's always going to have something to say about it. Somebody's always going to have something to say. You know what? To some people, man, I am too strict and I've got too many standards. To some people, I'm a loose liberal in left field. Somebody's always going to have something to say. Somebody's always, now y'all might as well, if y'all are married, you can say amen right here, okay? Whether you want to say it about your wife or you want to say it about your husband. If you a wife, I hope you say it about your husband. If you a husband, I hope you say it about your wife. I hope you understand what I'm getting right there. But watch this, somebody's always going to complain. You got a wife and two daughters at home. I mean, we'll just leave that right there. I got a wife and three daughters. And my dog's a girl and five nanny goats. You with me? Somebody's always going to say something. Well, what you're going to have to determine is this. What did God tell you to do on the backside of the desert? So does it really matter what everybody else says? Brother Heath sitting here tonight, the majority of y'all know Brother Heath, he was our youth pastor here at the church, missed the will of God and left. And Brother Heath began to talk to me. I'm just speaking. Brother Heath, and don't take what I'm fixing to say wrong, okay? God moves us and puts other people in. We wouldn't have Brother Elijah and Miss Maddie now as youth leaders. Brother Heath hadn't left. I didn't want Brother Heath to leave, but God had a plan for Brother Heath, and God's doing a great job with Brother Heath pastoring now, and God has sent us somebody else now, amen? But I remember Brother Heath began talking to me about that. He said, preacher, he said, I really believe God wants me to pastor. He said, I'm not sure where. We talked about it a lot, and I ended up telling him this. I said, Brother Heath, at the end of the day, it really don't matter what I think. At the end of the day, you're the one that's going to stand before God for you, not me. So the choice that you're fixing to make, you bathe that in prayer. You let God speak to him, speak to you through his word. And when the going gets tough, you got the word of God that has spoke to your heart to keep you where you're at. I'm saying this, there's always going to be complainers. But we have to go back to what God gave us. I can take you to the place where God confirmed in my heart to pastor Amazing Grace Baptist Church. The tree is no longer there. It's been cut down. But I can take you back to that place where God confirmed that. And there will be, now everybody see, say amen right here, there will be complainers along the way. But may we stay the course that God has given us. All right, Numbers chapter number 20. While you're going to Numbers chapter number 20, in Exodus chapter number 15, you'll find that there's the crying of Moses. The crying of Moses was whenever the people came to him at Marah and murmured against him, Moses cried unto the Lord. Again, I don't have time to preach all this. Moses cried unto the Lord. God showed Moses a tree. When he cast that tree into the waters in Exodus 15, the waters were made sweet. Did you catch that? The waters was made sweet. The moral of the story is simply this. When there's complaining around you, if you'll cry to the Lord and get to a tree, then that tree will help your bitter times become sweet, and that tree represents Calvary tonight. If we'll get to Him, He'll make our bitter times sweet. In closing, I see the calamity of Moses, though. This is one that I really struggled with talking about tonight, but if you're going to talk about the life of Moses, you've got to talk about it. You just got to. In Numbers chapter number 20, I'm not going to read it all, okay? I'll just save time by not reading it. Numbers chapter number 20. The children of Israel, God has used Moses to bring them out of Egypt to lead them to Canaan. And God has taken Moses apart now. God's taken Moses up on the mountain, and he gets to look into Canaan's land. He gets to see Canaan's land. But Moses never gets to enter Canaan's land. God never allows Moses to go into Canaan's land with the people that he brought out, that God called him to take them in. My dad and I had so many discussions about this part of Moses' life. Daddy says, I just don't understand sometimes why God didn't let Moses go on in. We've talked about it. The reason is simply this. In the desert, there was a rock that followed them around. They had a pet rock, and it followed them around. And whenever they needed water, water came out of that rock. God told Moses to smite that rock one time. And that rock is in typology. Again, I wish I had 2 hours to talk about all this because it's so rich in typology. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. And because of him being smitten, the blood came out and our sins have been washed white as snow. And God tells Moses to smite the rock one time. Moses is mad because he's just a man, and he smites the rock twice. And in doing that, he disobeys God, and he does away with the great picture and the great type of Jesus from that rock. And because of Moses' disobedience, God takes him up on the mountain. God lets him look at Canaan. God lets him see everything he could have had, but he don't let him go in. The calamity of Moses. Why? Because he didn't do exactly what God told him to do. God's a God of order. I don't know if you know that about God. You read the book of Leviticus and those offerings in the book. He is meticulous about the way he does things. If you look at creation, the way it all took place, God does things in ordering. God has a reason for things. And God says to Moses, this is what you do. And Moses don't do it exactly the way God tells him to. So there was a consequence to that. And the calamity of Moses was simply this. At the end of his life, he did not live life to its fullest potential for the Lord. God allowed him to see what he could have had if he would have. I want to ask you a question in closing, okay? And think about this with me. If God allowed us to see what we could have had, if we fully obeyed him, what would we see? What would we see? Would we see anything, Miss Regina? Or would God say, you've done everything that I've told you to do? Can I just time out a minute? I'd see a lot probably. And I'll just be honest with you. How many times has the Lord spoke to us? Give somebody a gospel tract. I remember, y'all all know, or a lot of y'all know Brother Ryan Hayes. Brother Ryan Hayes is a preacher out of our church. He pastors Southside Baptist Church in Yadkinville now. But Brother Ryan, for 11 years, was an undercover narcotics agent. He worked with Homeland Security a lot. He worked with the SBI a lot. And he was on a joint task force. And he's still in law enforcement today. He's moved up. He's a sergeant over CID and narcotics now where he works at. But I'll never forget one day, we've got this app, it's called Marco Polo, and Ryan had sent me a message, and he said, hey, say a prayer for us. He said, we're fixing to hit a place. He said, we got a no-knock search warrant, we're fixing to hit this place, hire us, say a prayer. And I said, you got it, buddy, and I stopped what I was doing right then and prayed for him. I said, you make sure when you're done, you send me a thumbs up, do something, just so I know everything's all right. Well, 2 or 3 hours, he sent me a thumbs up not long after that, and 2 or 3 hours went by, and he sent me another Marco Polo, and he said, hey, man, he said, everything's good. You know, we rest, blah, 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 we got blah, blah, blah. And as he's Marco Poloing me, he's got his vest off, and he's got a T-shirt on, and he was talking about the interviews and everything once they got done with the search warrant. Of course, they took all the gear off as far as hitting the house and then began to search it without their gear on. And his shirt has this great big logo on it. And it's a cross with people and their hands is raised up towards the cross. And it says, Amazing Grace Baptist Church. And I was like, hey, dude, let me ask you a question, by the way. And he's like, what, preacher? What do you need, man? I said, I guess you was wearing that shirt during all that. He said, yeah, I was representing, Hoss. And I said, didn't say nothing out the way, did you? Oh, no, I wouldn't have done that. I said, okay. And he said, you wouldn't believe the doors it opens for me to begin to give the gospel. He told me this, he said, in my car. He said, I keep tracks from our church at that time. I'm sure he does from his church now. And he said, every time I stop somebody, or I begin, he didn't do a lot of stops. After the stops where he worked undercover, he would go start interviewing and trying to turn more deals. And if you know anything about all that world, you understand that. And he said, anytime they start to get out of my car, I say, just before you get out, here's something you need to read. And I can offer you all kinds of programs to get your life straightened out. But right here's the answer to your addiction. It's Jesus Christ. And he says, I try my best to be a witness everywhere I go. And I say this to you, may we live with that same objective. That in everything we do and everywhere we go, no matter what our job is, I mean, he had a very high-risk job at that time. No matter what our job is, we can give them the gospel. God said, Moses, this is what you could have had. What would you see today if God showed you what you could have had? If you was to die today, what would you see? Now, I want to say one more thing. Why don't we all say to the best of our ability, from this day forward, I can't do nothing about yesterday. I can't do nothing about the time leading up to this moment. It's gone. I can't do one thing about it. But you know what I can do? I can say, from this day forward, it's not me living, it's Christ living through me. It's not my life, it's His life. And to the best of my ability, I'm going to try my best to live it pleasing to Christ. And God may show me some things from the past, but may we say July the 21st, 2024, God spoke to our heart. And from here forward, I'm just going to forget about the past. The past don't need to be buried. It needs to be cremated. It needs to be cremated. This past week, the devotion I sent out to the sheriff's office was that very devotion. Our past don't need to be buried. It needs to be cremated. Forgetting those things which are behind. And let's say, with the help of God, I'm going to go to that time where I've heard the voice of God. God spoke to me. God has something for me to do. He's got a plan for my life. Man, I was so tickled. On Friday, watching some of our teenagers in the middle of the day, it was hot outside, walking up and down the roads up here off of Beulah Road, knocking on doors and inviting kids to come to VBS. Matter of fact, there's some kids here tonight that they visited Friday, some of our teenagers did, and asked them to come. Man, it tickled me to death. I was coming out Neil Road. Some of y'all know where Neil Road's at. I was coming out Neil Road, and I looked to my left, and I had dropped the girls and Brother Elijah off up here If you're coming out Neal Road, it's up here on the left. You're coming off of Highway 89 or West Pine through Beulah. It's on the left. But I looked and I saw Lydia. She was running, and I thought, why is she running? So here I am in the church van with the church name on the side of it. I push the hammer down. I think something's wrong. And I come literally sliding out into 80 or into Beulah Road, and there's a car coming, and I thought, they'll just have to cuss me. I'm going to see what's wrong with her. And I turn in, and that road's just bumpy as everything. So I turned in, and the van was like this. And y'all know that van, they cut the catalytic converter off of it, so we just had a straight pipe put on it. Whoa! Here I come sliding in, Amazing Grace on two wheels, SWAT style, fixing the whatever's going on. And she's just standing there, and Elijah's standing there. And I said, what happened? Did I not just see you running across the yard? She said, yeah, that dog was after me. I said, the one Elijah's up there talking to? Man, it just thrilled my heart to see him doing that. God has something for every one of us. If it is that person at the job place, tomorrow I'll come in contact with some people tomorrow. And one of the people that I know that I'll be around some tomorrow, man, the Lord's just put him and his family on my heart so strong. And I can't wait, hopefully, to get him to the side with just me and him a little while tomorrow. I'm going to talk to him and I'm going to say, man, listen, I want you to bring your family to the house of God. May we decide from here on, man, we've heard from God. He's got a call on our life. He's got something for us to do. And even though they may be some that complain, we're going to stick to what God has for us to do. And we're going to raise our families right. We're going to train them right. We're going to live for Him. And we're going to make a difference in the world that we live in. Father.